if you classify candidate books as nonfiction, and I think we're supposed to, then you can assume that Time magazine columnist Michael Kinsley would not be thrilled by their proliferation. In an essay he wrote a few years back, he took a strong stand against nonfiction. He wrote, quote, "There's too much nonfiction going on in the world already without writers adding to it."
Well, that was in a way a joke, but you and I both know people who are writing big, long nonfiction books more because they want to have written a book than any desire to write this actual book. And it drags them down into years of misery. And, you know, they look pale. They've taken leaves from their jobs and don't have enough money. And this is all to produce something which some people may buy, maybe even a lot of people may buy, somewhat fewer people will read. You know, sometimes you do think, what's the point?
Right. But it's not just nonfiction that does this to authors.
Well, part of it is I am in awe of people who write fiction, especially people who write it successfully, because I can't imagine doing it myself. So I respect that.
The corollary being that you don't respect so much.
Well,
those
as
who...
I was saying that, I realized I was giving you that opening. Sure, I respect anyone who tackles a book, but there's a mystery to me in writing fiction that impresses me more. Second, there's a lot of nonfiction in the world already. I mean, we spend our lives living in nonfiction.
Could you tell us about the experiment you conducted a few years ago with the best-selling nonfiction books?
Yeah, this was many years ago, and the leading bookstore in Washington was Olson's. I went in there with some Post-it notes, and I had someone else did it too, and we put them about three-quarters of the way through maybe 50 books, say half a dozen titles, 10 each. And it said, if you see this, call Mike Kinsley at the New Republic, where I was then working, and you'll get $5. And nobody called.
Now, you could say that $5 just wasn't enough incentive.
This was long enough ago that $5 could buy a book, for example. You know, it wasn't scientific, and it was basically for fun. But I was shocked that not a single person ever called. And actually, there's a particular kind of nonfiction that, to me, is more likely to be a puzzle, which is the Washington policy book or the memoir of the press secretary of the president before last. They market the book on the basis of these quotes, you know, or little scooplets.
That are placed in newspapers in advance of the publication?
Right, right. So you can read virtually everything that the publisher thinks is of value in the book in the newspaper. So why do you buy the book? And it has something to do with its icon value. You know, it's having this book that is in the newspapers. I do it too every now and then, but it's peculiar.
Do you blame publishers for there being too much nonfiction, or authors, or people like you who might buy a book you really don't think you'll ever open?
I'm not sure I blame anyone. I mean, publishers want to make money. Writers want to see their name on a book. You know, to be frank, and also to give myself a plug, I've got a book coming out in 2 or 3 months, and it's just a collection of columns, so there was nothing urgent that I had to say. And they paid me practically nothing for it, so I didn't do it for the money. I did it for vanity.
But when nobody's looking, don't you secretly thrill to read the latest nonfiction wonder book?
Well, I thrilled to buy it, or even better, in our business, Brooke, you get an amazing number of them for free. And I certainly thrilled to that. There's many satisfactions you get from reading books, but thrill. I can't remember the last time I got an actual thrill out of a nonfiction book.
Michael, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Brooke.
Michael Kinsley is a regular columnist for Time magazine.